Blog Talk Radio.
They abandoned their belief in the supernatural. Now you are asking me to sabotage that achievement, to send them back into the dark ages of superstition and ignorance and fear? No!
You are listening to the Pink Atheist Podcast with your host, Rachel Johnson.
Everyone, and welcome to the Pink Atheist. It is Wednesday, August the 5th, 2020. I hope everyone is doing okay out there. Got some current events that I'm going to talk about real quick, and then I do have the entirety of the Axios interview with Jonathan Snow, and it was on HBO, so I know a lot of people have seen it, but I'm going to play it here for those who haven't been fortunate enough to have listened to it, and I do have some thoughts and comments on it as we go. So some of the clips I'm going to just continuously play. I might stop in between them and just tell you a few facts, because there is a lot in there to break down. So I'm going to go ahead and get started. My first topic today is Ron DeSantis. He is the governor of Florida. He said he was interviewed recently, and he said that the unemployment system, which, you know, Florida is a hot mess right now with COVID cases and people dying, and apparently some of their ICU units have run out of beds. So this state is in already chaos and disarray. There are over 30 million Americans that are unemployed. And he said that he knows that their unemployment system is frustrating, that it was intended to be that way. His intent was to discourage people from applying for or being able to get unemployment. And really, in a time when the economy is completely tanked, people are going hungry. This is a cruel and horrific thing to do, to try to discourage people from getting what they need and make it as difficult as possible. And he's Republican, and really you shouldn't expect less from a Republican. But, you know, we've come to not expect or get more, because these people are undeniably as cruel and sadistic as they could be. So any Floridians who are listening, you know, be aware that this guy does not have your best interest at heart. He purposely is making it so that people who are suffering and in a time of need cannot even get the resources that they need. And I think it's disturbing, because I know that a lot of unemployment systems have been troublesome since the beginning of March and through mid-March and through April. Hundreds of people have talked about their state's unemployment, whether or not they were denied, told that they couldn't, because if you got special pandemic unemployment, they were excluded from traditional unemployment. So it's a cruel technique to try to do this to people, especially when they're in dire need of resources and help. And I think hearing somebody that callous really brings it home to you how little these people do care. And goes to show that this is the same person who's saying that it's okay to go ahead and hug someone. They're in PPE, which is protective gear. It's not okay. That may be contaminated gear. They still may have COVID. You don't know if you can get it transmitted to you. The only way to protect yourself is to not engage in that kind of behavior. This man does not have the best interest of his constituents at heart. And I hope comes his next election, he is absolutely fired. The next thing that is up on the news is the explosion in Beirut. I talked about this yesterday. I mentioned it a little bit. People were saying that it was a fireworks company. Here's what happened. It's right on the docks, and apparently they were storing ammonia nitrate, and it was close to gas tanks. Now, I'm not sure, and I think that they're still investigating exactly what happened to cause the explosion, but it was so intense that the after effects of the explosion were felt in Cyprus, Greece, which is 130 miles away. This caused horrific damage. It killed over 100 people. There is at least 4,000 injured. They're currently searching for more people. The story is unfolding as we go. People are on site working as hard as they can to see what all is going on. Like I said, it's a tragic and a horrific thing that is still unfolding, and my heart goes out to you, the people of Lebanon, Beirut, who have felt this, and anyone who lost loved ones. I really wish the best for them all, and I hope that all of the people that were injured survive and that we don't have any more loss. And it goes to say that, you know, people need to be responsible, because in the Middle East, where it's a high heat area, ammonium nitrate is like, it's used to eat through bedrock for when you're mining. And it is a very potent chemical. So heat plus potent acidic chemical is a recipe for a disaster like what we saw. And I really wish the best for all of them. Another thing that happened today, and I think that this is wonderful, the Confederate flag, if you're aware, Mississippi has a flag that's kind of like a cross between their own state flag, and it has like a section of it that is a Confederate flag, and it has finally come down. And this is monumental because Mississippi is one of our states where we have the most potent types of racism and bigotry and hate. And so for a state like this to finally make the move to stop seeing this as heritage instead of just blatant racism, and to move forward and progress, it's wonderful and it's profound. And I would love to see a day where no state embraced that flag, because it has nothing to do with heritage. It has everything to do with racism, hate. It needs to go. We need to treat Black Americans with respect and dignity. They've earned it. They deserve it. They're human beings. That's the way it should be. The Confederate flag is nothing but a monument to racism. It doesn't have a heritage. Treason against America should not be celebrated in any form. It's not about rebellion. Rebellion is something that, on another show, I want to discuss, because it's such a big topic. Like, people think that they're being smart, they're being kind of like their own person, unique in holding these ideas of being rebellious, and it's not. It's, this flag is not about rebellion. It is about pure racism and hate and simply a myopic view of the world where you don't embrace foreigners as human beings. So I was very glad to see that that's being removed, and I look forward to the day when Black people in this nation can feel like they are equals in human beings and seen that way by the majority, if not all of us. All is a big request, especially when racism is so rampant in this country, but it would be wonderful to see that day. Another thing that happened here in my home state, we're having an issue with Frank De La Rose, who wants to stop Ohioans from being able to request their ballots over the computer. Some states have it so that you can go on the computer, you fill out a form with all of your information, you do the request online, and then they will send you your ballot for the November vote, presidential race, whatever race, technically. And it's simple. You don't have to print out anything, mail it to them, then wait, get your ballot back, and then do that and send it back. He's actually taking the Democrats to court in trying to prevent them from moving forward with this. They're saying that it would be too hard to write in the code for people to do this, which I don't see how that's true. Ohio just spent $25 million creating a whole pandemic unemployment website, which took a little over a month, and we have 3 months to the election. So I don't see where they can't spend a few thousand dollars to try to make sure that everybody doesn't have to worry about getting their primary request into the mail and then waiting for the ballot to get back to them, then making the move to the next step where they send it back. It's a lot of work for a little bit of satisfaction to get it done, especially for people in poor areas who might be facing those challenges. I don't think that that's the correct way to go. But once again, Ohio is currently run by a majority GOP. Republicans, they don't care about us. We have had nothing but problems with them. I know that they were talking about trying to change how much time we have to get our ballot and get it back in, how much time we have for early voting, all of that. Thanks to the leadership of Trump, they have been trying to attack our elections here and trying to change the rules surrounding when and how we can vote. I can say honestly that so far it hasn't been too terrible, but we still go. And people like me, I'm going to definitely, as soon as Joe Biden has his VP pick and the ballots are printed, I definitely want to get mine and get it back in there, whichever method, because the last thing I want to do is have to show up in November and vote for somebody during a pandemic. But I believe in this country enough that I would absolutely do it if it was a last-ditch effort, like scrambling, had to do it. Which, another thing that's going to happen, or quote-unquote not happen, Joe Biden will not travel to Milwaukee to accept the Dem nomination due to high risk associated with COVID. So he and all of the people who were going to go to the Democratic National Convention for his nomination, he is not going, they are not going. Hopefully they'll do something that is televised so that people can watch it. And, I mean, we all understand that he is going to accept this. We're not looking for a huge party. We just need to go through the procedural with him accepting the nomination and us moving forward so that we can try to get him elected in November. Now, this is pertinent because I'm about to play a Trump interview for you. I want everyone out there to hear this because it's kind of like a look into Trump's mind. But you also see some other characteristics in him, and these are important to pay attention to. So now I'm going to quickly turn this over and get started. They are in different segments, so each segment has a few minutes that it plays, and then I'm going to either keep going through or make a few comments and then put the next one through. So bear with me, okay?
Also think in terms of the downside.
Right.
I've been given a lot of credit for positive thinking, but I also think about downside because only a fool doesn't.
To what extent do you think that positive thinking mindset is suitable to handling the worst pandemic that we've seen in a century?
I think you have to have a positive outlook. Otherwise, you would have nothing without a positive outlook. I think we've done an incredible job between the ventilators and stopping very infected people from China coming in, meaning putting the ban on China, which frankly nobody wanted me to do, practically nobody, because it was very early in January. Then putting the ban on Europe, not an easy thing to do. When you put a ban on Europe, that's a big thing. We would have probably lost hundreds of thousands of lives more had I not done that. And all of the experts, every one of them, not one of them wanted to do it. They thought it was too severe. 3 months later, they're all saying, I'm glad you did it.
The criticism of you that is most prominent is about the communication. Is the public health expert saying that it needs to be based in reality? And they're saying that the wishful thinking and the salesmanship is just not suitable at a time when a pandemic has killed 145,000 Americans. And I understand what you're saying, that people need to hear positive thinking. But, you know, for the past 5 months, it's been the virus is totally under control and the cases have been going up and the deaths have been going up.
Look.
But you've been saying it's
nobody
under control.
Nobody knew what this thing was all about. This has never happened before. 1917, but it was a totally different It was a flu in that case, okay? But other than 1917, there's never been anything like this. And by the way, if you watch the fake news on television, they don't even talk about it. But you know, there are 188 other countries right now that are suffering some proportionately far greater than we are, okay? As bad as we
are. Very few.
Some proportionately greater than we are. Right now, Spain is having a big spike. There are tremendous problems in the world. You look at Moscow. Look at what's going on with Moscow. Look at Brazil. Look at these countries, what's going on. This was sent to us by China, one way or the other, and we're never going to forget it. Believe me, we're never going to forget it. And we were beating China at every single point. We were beating them on trade. We were making progress like nobody's ever made progress. They had, before the pandemic, they had the worst year, Jonathan, that they've had in 67 years. You know that, with the tariffs and everything else I did. We were taking in billions of dollars. I was giving some of it to the farmers. The farmers were doing well because I was targeting. They were targeting the farmers. I was targeting China. We were doing good. Then all of a sudden, the game changed, and I had to close it down. I closed down the greatest economy ever in history. And then I closed.
Okay, so I'm going to stop right there because I want to mention a few things. One, the ban on China. The ban on China did not come in early January. Okay, that's a lie. The ban on China was not when he said it was. Second of all is nobody wanted him to ban China from coming in here. In a pandemic, first of all, you don't want a highly infected country. You have to stop travel. It's not a ban in China. It is a ban on travel between countries, okay? Next one is the flu that killed 55 million people, okay, worldwide, million, was 1918, but also it killed millions of people. So we have seen something like this before in major effect, which is why Obama left a plan and a program of how to deal with the pandemic. He was prepared for it. We were not beating China at trade. All right, this is a lie. He was subsidizing farmers because farmers' soybeans were sitting there rotting. They were losing millions of dollars. Many farmers have declared bankruptcy. We were not winning a war with China. And the billions of dollars he's talking about that we were, quote unquote, taking in on trade. No, that is money that American consumers were paying for what he did imposing a tariff. Because ultimately, when a tariff is imposed on another country to import goods, it does not affect that country. It affects the people who are buying the goods, because that bill is handed down to the consumers. What he did was make a disaster out of the trade between China and us. We went from a nice, steady, stable, although a little unfair, trade system, okay? But it was a pretty good deal to it. He destroyed it all. So I'm going to start clip two, then I have some thoughts, and we're going to keep going, okay?
Now we're opening it, and we say, by the way, by closing it down, we save millions of lives. If we would have gone to herd, and we knew very little about the disease, if we would have gone herd, we would have lost millions of people, millions of people. One person's too much. We're at 140,000 people. One person is too much. We're at 140. We would have lost millions of people. And those people that really understand it, they really understand it. They said it's incredible the job that we've done. And again, I bring it up.
Who
said
that?
The ban, banning China from coming in.
But it was already in here. It was already here. Like by the time you banned China, it came in through Europe.
Nobody knew the extent. Nobody knew how contagious.
But the question is, Mr. President,
maybe China knew.
By June, we knew. Things were bad. And, you know, the last time I was with you was the day before your Tulsa rally in the Oval. And, you know, you were saying big, huge crowd. It was indoors.
By the way,
these people, they listened to you.
Excuse me, Jeff.
Yeah.
We had a 19,000 seat stadium. First of all, we had 12,000 people, not 6,000, which you reported and other people reported. But you couldn't even get in. It was like an armed camp.
Why would you have wanted that?
Because they had 120 Black Lives Matter people.
I understand, but why would you have wanted
a
huge crowd?
And Tulsa, excuse me, wait. And Tulsa, well, because that area was a very good area at the time. It was an area that was pretty much over after a month later, it started going up. That's a month later. But Tulsa was a very good, Oklahoma was doing very well as a state. It was almost free. It spiked a month later, a month and a half, 2 months later, but it was a good area. We had a tremendous crowd. We had tremendous response. You couldn't even, it was like an armed camp. You couldn't even get through. You couldn't get anybody in.
But we
had 12,000 people. It was incorrectly reported. The other thing we had that nobody wants to talk about, so Fox broadcast it. It was the highest rating in the history of Fox Television, Saturday night. It was the highest rating.
Mr. President.
My speech, well, wait a minute. You're saying something.
Yeah.
That speech was the highest rated speech in the history of Fox Television on Saturday night. And nobody says
I think you misunderstand me. I'm criticizing your ability to draw a crowd. Are you kidding me?
I've
covered you for 5 years. You draw massive crowds. You get huge ratings. I'm asking about the public
health.
Time,
and I canceled another one. I had to cancel it.
Right.
I have a great crowd in New Hampshire, and I canceled it for the same reason.
But here's the question. I've covered you for a long time. I've gone to your rallies. I've talked to your people. They love you. They listen to you. They listen to every word you say. They hang on your every word. They don't listen to me or the media or Fauci. They think we're fake news. They want to get their advice from you. And so when they hear you say everything's under control, don't worry about wearing masks, I mean, these are people, many of them are older people,
Mr. President.
What's
your definition of control? Yeah. Under the
giving them a false sense
right
of security.
Now, I think it's under control. I'll tell you what.
How? 1,000 Americans are dying a day.
They are dying. That's true. And it is what it is. But that doesn't mean we aren't doing everything we can. It's under control as much as you can control it. This is a horrible plague that beset us.
You really think this is as much as we can control?
1,000
deaths
a
day?
I'd like to know if somebody, first of all, we have done a great
job. Okay. So I want to go over a couple things real quick, and then I'm going to go ahead and continue these. One thing, listeners, try not to facepalm, because I've been listening to this. I did the recordings of it, and I challenge you to not facepalm at least 50 times during the rest of this interview. But you can see that he worries more about his ratings and crowds and calling the press liars than he does about the fact that this pandemic is horrific. He only did have 6,000 people present. There were not Black Lives Matter people there preventing the crowd to get in. The crowd does not exist. Okay, so there wasn't more people coming. He lied about the equipment. There's no great testing. Listening to the rest of this interview, keep in mind that this man has bungled this entire thing. So now we're going to continue forward, and I'm going to play straight through, and then I'm going to talk about it at the end.
Job. We've gotten the governors everything they needed. They didn't do their job. Many of them didn't, and some of them did. Someday we'll sit down. We'll talk about the successful ones, the good ones. Look at that smile. The good ones and the bad. We had good and bad, and we had a lot in the middle, but we had some incredible governors. I could tell you right now who the great ones are, and who the not-so-great ones are. But the governors do it. We gave them massive amounts of material.
Mr. President, you changed your message this week in terms of you canceled the Jacksonville convention. You said wear a mask. You're saying, you know, that it's going to get worse before it gets better. It's not something you like to say. I know you said that. The big question...
Not get worse like the original flow. You understand that. But
well, I hope not.
Now if you look... Arizona is going down.
If I can just finish my question.
Texas is going down and Florida is going down.
The question is, are you going to, even some of your own aides wonder whether you would stick to that message until Election Day, whether in a week or two you won't say, right, we've got to reopen again. We can't do this stuff anymore, that you'll get bored of talking about the virus and go back to that
no,
sort of
I'm
cheerleading.
Not. I never get bored of talking about this. It's too big a thing. And again,
so will you stick to that message?
By China. It should have been stopped by China, and it wasn't.
But now it's here.
We have it here. And I think I'm very consistent. No, this is a very serious thing. Do you think we have 140,000 people at this moment?
More
this is a very, very serious situation. And what you have to do is handle it the best it can be handled. And again, I'm working with the governors. I got them tremendous amounts of equipment that they would have never gotten. Jonathan, they wouldn't have equipment now if I didn't get it.
When can you commit, by what date, that every American will have access to the same day testing that you get here in the White House?
Well, we have great testing. We're doing, and
by what
date? People do. Let me explain the testing. We have tested more people than any other country, than all of Europe put together times two. We have tested more people than anybody ever thought of. India has 1.4 billion people. They've done 11 million tests. We've done 55. It'll be close to 60 million tests. And, you know, there are those that say, you can test too much. You do know that.
Who says that?
Oh, just read the manuals. Read the books.
Read the books. What books?
What testing does...
Let me
explain. What testing does, it shows cases. It shows where there may be cases. Other countries test. You know when they test? They test when somebody's sick. That's when they test. And I'm not saying they're right or wrong. Nobody's done it like we've done it. We've gotten absolutely no credit for it. But we've come up with so many different tests. The only thing that we have now is some people have to wait longer than we'd like them to.
Can you commit, by what date, that every American will have access to the same day testing that you get here in the White House?
Well, we have great testing. We're doing, and
by what
date? People do. Let me explain the testing. We have tested more people than any other country, than all of Europe put together times two. We have tested more people than anybody ever thought of. India has 1.4 billion people. They've done 11 million tests. We've done 55. It'll be close to 60 million tests. And, you know, there are those that say, you can test too much. You do know that.
Who says that?
Oh, just read the manuals. Read the books.
What books?
What testing does... Let me explain. What testing does, it shows cases. It shows where there may be cases. Other countries test. You know when they test? They test when somebody's sick. That's when they test. And I'm not saying they're right or wrong. Nobody's done it like we've done it. We've gotten absolutely no credit for it. But we've come up with so many different tests. The only thing that we have now is some people have to wait longer than we'd like them to.
That's a big problem.
We want point to point. We want to have a 5-minute to a 15-minute test.
Every American.
I understand we're close to 50% where it's point to point test. We are making thousands of instruments, thousands of tests right now, tens of thousands that can be distributed to various parts of the country. But you have to understand, and we've even sent some of them to other countries where they had a big problem. Jonathan, almost 50%, in fact, I think the number might be over, is immediate testing. The other's tough. You take a test, you have to send it to a laboratory. Let's say that takes a day.
It's difficult.
You know, so it's 3 or 4 or 5 days. There's nothing you do about that.
But when do you think we'll have it?
I think that you will have that relatively soon. I mean, again,
what does that mean?
You already have half.
Yeah.
I would much rather get back to you because I don't want to have you in 1 month.
That's fine.
I didn't make it. I missed it by a day. It's a headline.
Mr. President, I want to talk about the federal intervention.
One thing I would say about testing. Because we test so much, we show cases. So we show many, many cases. We show tremendous number of... I know you're smiling when I say that.
I've heard you say this.
Other countries don't test like we do. They don't show cases.
Just a couple of points on that. I wasn't going to continue on the testing, but you said it. So we're testing so much because it's spread so far in America.
We're testing much because we had the ability to test.
Okay.
Because we came up with tests.
South Korea...
Jonathan... We didn't even have a test. When I took over, we didn't even have a test. Now, in all fairness,
why would you have a test?
There was no test.
The virus didn't exist. How would you have a test?
I was going to say, there was no test for this. No, we didn't have a test because there was no test.
Of course.
In a very short order, we got one test, we got another test.
It was broken the first
time. Many of those tests are now obsolete because we've, you know, it's called science, and all of a sudden something's better. But because we tested so many people, 55, 60 million people very soon, we get cases. You test, some kid has even just a little runny nose, it's a case. And then you report.
We look like we have more cases than massive countries like China, which, by the way, doesn't report, as you know.
Well, I don't put any stock in China.
The point is, because we are so much better at testing than any other country in the world, we show more cases.
The figure I look at is death. And death is going up now.
Okay,
there's 1,000 a day.
If you look at death...
Yeah, it's going up again.
Let's look.
Daily death.
Take a look at some of these charts.
I'd love to.
We're going to look.
Let's look.
And if you look at death...
Yeah.
There,
started to go up again.
One. Well, right here, the United States is lowest in numerous categories. We're lower than the world.
Lower than
we're
the
lower
world?
Lower than
what is that?
Europe.
In what? In what?
Take a look. Right here. Here's case death.
Oh, you're doing death as a proportion of cases. I'm talking about death as a proportion of population. That's where the U.S. is really bad.
Well,
much worse than South Korea, Germany, etc.
You can't do that.
Why can't I do that?
You have to go by where... Look, here is the United States. You have to go by the cases. The cases...
Why not as a proportion of population?
When we have somebody... What it says is when you have somebody that has it, where there's a case, the people that live from those cases.
It's surely a relevant statistic to say if the U.S. has X population and X percentage of death of that population versus South Korea.
No, because you have to go by the cases.
Well, look at South Korea, for example. 51 million population, 300 deaths. It's like, it's crazy.
You don't know that.
I do. It's
you don't know that.
So you think they're faking their statistics, South Korea?
I won't get into that because they have a very good relationship with the country. But you don't know that. And they have spikes. Look, here's
Germany,
one.
Low, 9,000.
Here's one right here, United States. You take
anyway.
The number of cases.
Okay.
Now, look, we're last, meaning we're first.
Last? I don't know
we
what we're first in. As a what?
Take a look. Okay. Again, it's cases.
Okay.
And we have cases... Because
a thousand Americans are dying a day. But I understand on cases, it's different.
No, but you're not reporting it correctly, Jonathan.
I think I am, but...
If you take a look at this other chart, look, this is our testing, I believe. This is the testing, yeah.
Yeah, we do more tests.
No, wait a minute. Well, don't we get credit for that? And because we do more tests, we have more cases. In other words, we test more, we have... Now, take a look. The top one, that's a good thing, not a bad thing. The top, Jonathan.
If hospital rates were going down and deaths were going down, I'd say terrific. You deserve to be praised for testing,
they
but they're all going
you
up.
You know, they very rarely
talk... 60,000 Americans are in hospital.
If you watch the
thousand
news
dying
or read
a day.
The papers, they usually talk about new cases.
I'm talking about death.
Well, you look at
it's
death.
Going up.
Death is way down from where it was.
It's 1,000 a day. It was 2,500. It went down to 500. Now it's going up again.
Excuse me. Where it was is much higher than where it is right now.
It went down and it went up again.
But now it's going down again. It's going down in Arizona. It's going down in Florida.
Nationally,
it's going down in Texas. Take a look at this. These are the tests.
It's going down in Florida?
Yeah, it's going. It leveled out and it's going down. That's my report as of yesterday.
Anyway, Mr. President, if I could change subject.
It is going down in Arizona.
Arizona it is. Texas has big problems.
And it spiked and it's now going down in Florida. It's evened out and going down in Florida.
I'll have to see those.
But you have to look at this. This is the number of tests compared to the rest of the world.
I don't deny your figures. You've done more tests by far than the rest of the world. I don't deny that.
Because we've done more tests, we have more cases.
You
can take it back. Check it out.
It's been widely reported that the U.S. has intelligence indicating that Russia paid bounties or offered to pay bounties to Taliban fighters to kill American soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
You had a phone call with Vladimir Putin on July 23rd. Did you bring up this issue?
No, that was a phone call to discuss other things. And frankly, that's an issue that many people said was fake news.
Who said it was fake news?
I think a lot of people, if you look at some of the wonderful folks from the Bush administration, some of them, not any friends of mine, were saying that it's a fake issue. But a lot of people said it's a fake issue.
There was dispute.
Well, we had a call talking about nuclear proliferation, which is a very big subject, where they would like to do something and so would I. We discussed numerous things. We did not discuss that, no.
And you've never discussed it with him?
I have never discussed it with him, no. I would. I'd have no problem with it.
But you don't believe
you know,
the intelligence?
It's
because you don't believe the intelligence. That's why.
Everything, you know, it's interesting. Nobody ever brings up China. They always bring Russia. if we can do something with Russia in terms of nuclear proliferation, which is
right.
a very big problem, bigger problem than global warming,
right.
a much bigger problem than global warming in terms of the real world, that would be a great thing.
But
it never reached my
okay.
desk. You know why? Because they didn't think it was intelligence. They didn't think it was real.
It was in your written brief, though. Apparently.
They didn't think it was worthy of. I wouldn't mind. If it reached my desk, I would have done something about it. It never reached my desk because.
Do you read your written brief?
I do.
Do
I
you?
Read a lot.
Really?
You know, I read a lot. They like to say I don't read. I read a lot.
Your daily
intelligence brief? I comprehend extraordinarily well, probably better than anybody that you've interviewed in a long time. I read a lot. I spend a lot of time with at meetings. Usually it's once a day or at least two or three times a week intelligence.
Because this was apparently...
Talking about India,
right.
talking about
right.
with the problems with China, talking about so many different elements of the world.
Mm-hmm.
The world is a very angry place. If you look all over the world, we call up, I see 22 soldiers were killed in India with China fighting over the border. It's been raging for many, many decades, and they've been fighting and back and forth. I have so many briefings on so many different countries, but this one didn't reach my desk.
The reason I say this is even if you don't believe this particular piece of intelligence, and there is dispute, no doubt there is dispute in the intelligence community about it, your former, John Nicholson, former head of forces in Afghanistan, said, and this is when he was working for you, that Russia is supplying weapons to the Taliban. Isn't that enough to challenge Putin over the killings of
well,
U.S.
we
soldiers?
Well, we supplied weapons when they were fighting Russia, too. You know, when they were fighting with the Taliban in Afghanistan...
It's a different era.
Well, it's a different... I'm just saying, yes.
But does that...
I'm just saying we did that, too.
But how does that...
I don't know. I didn't ask Nicholson about that. He was there for a long time, didn't have great success because, you know, he was there before me, and then ultimately I made a change.
But you surely heard that, right? I mean, it's well known in the intelligence community that they're arming the Taliban, Russia.
I don't know. When you... say arming is
supplying
the Taliban
weapons.
Paying or are they
Russia is supplying weapons and money to the Taliban.
I have heard that, but it's never again. It's never reached my desk.
I mean, he said it on the record when he was in.
Hey, Russia doesn't want anything to do with Afghanistan. Let me just say about Russia. Russia used to be a thing called the Soviet Union. Because of Afghanistan, they went bankrupt. They became Russia. Just so you do understand, okay? The last thing that Russia wants to do is get too much involved with Afghanistan. They tried that once. It didn't work out too
well. Last question on this subject.
And by the way, we're largely out of Afghanistan, as you probably know.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. The U.S. troop level in Afghanistan right now is roughly the same as it was when
no,
you...
No, you're wrong. No.
Mr. President, I'm sorry. We have to do...
Okay, are you ready?
No.
We'll be down in a very short... It's already planned.
Well that's a different question.
We'll be down in a very short period of time to 8,000. Then we're going to be down to 4,000. We're negotiating right now. We've been there for 19 years.
I know. But if you just let me finish my question.
We'll be getting out.
I understand. Look, when you came in, it was 8,800. You boosted to 14,000, and now you're back down to 8,500.
We're now...
My question
we'll
to you...
We'll be in 4,000. I'll give
when?
You the exact... Very soon.
What will be the number... Very soon? 4,000?
Very soon, yes.
Like how soon?
I don't want to tell you that. I don't want to tell
it's
you.
Big
that.
News.
What is that? That is
it's going down to 4,000, isn't it?
No, I've always said.
Well, what about election day?
We will get largely out.
On election day, how many American troops will be in Afghanistan?
Probably anywhere from 4,000 to 5,000.
That's almost as many as when you came into office.
No, it's not.
8,000.
We had much more. We had a lot of people over there too.
8,800.
A lot of people. And we did a good job. We wiped out ISIS.
Have you thought about going down to zero?
Let me just tell you what you don't say. We took out in Syria, we took out ISIS. We 100% of the caliphate. When I took over Obama, it was totally rampant. ISIS was all over the place. We took them out, we captured them, we killed them. 100%, not 99%.
Right.
I wanted to get out at 99.
Right.
Everyone said, oh, please, would you stay? I stayed. 99% was good, but 100% of the caliphate. We took out Soleimani. We took out... al-Baghdadi. We took out people that nobody thought possible. Al-Baghdadi was the biggest terrorist of them all. They couldn't find him. I took him out. Soleimani, even bigger. I took him out. I've done things that no other president's done. Fortunately, not too many. They should have never been in the Middle East. The decision to go to the Middle East and get into the Middle East was the single biggest mistake made in the history of our country. That's my opinion.
You told... News recently that you couldn't say whether you'd accept the results of the 2020 election. What does that actually look like as the sitting president? I mean, it's unprecedented. What would that actually look
Hillary
like?
Hillary Clinton never accepted him.
That's an important point. She conceded on election night. Now, she grumbled about it and said all sorts of
grumbled?
Things.
Grumbled? She
okay,
wrote books
fine.
About
she wrote
it.
Books.
I use the word grumbled.
Fine.
But she wrote books about it.
That's fine, but
and
I'm
she
just...
got beaten easily.
I get it. I get it.
306 to 223.
I'm not disputing you beat Hillary Clinton.
That's a lot.
Listen, what I'm asking is you'll be the sitting president in the White House. What does that look like, not accepting...
I'll tell you what it looks like.
Are you litigating?
Let me tell you what it looks
like. Okay.
So we have a new phenomena. It's called mail-in voting, where you send where
new.
A governor.
Well, it's been here since
it's
the
new
Civil War.
In terms of the kind of millions and millions of ballots, they've never.
It'll be
like
bigger
this
year because of the pandemic.
Bigger? Not bigger. Massively bigger.
Yeah, because of the pandemic.
So they're going to send tens of millions of ballots to California, all over the place. Who's going to get them? I have a friend who lives in Westchester County.
They send applications, not ballots.
His son passed away. He had a beautiful, wonderful son, young man, passed away 7 years ago. He called me. He said, I just got a ballot
probably
for my son, Robert.
Probably
he died 7 years ago. Somebody got a ballot for a dog. Somebody got a ballot for something else. You got millions of ballots going. Nobody even knows where they're going. You look at some of the corruption having to do with universal mail-in voting. Absentee voting is okay. You have to apply. You have to go through a process.
You have to apply for mail-in.
Absentee voting
same
is
thing.
Good.
Let's do concrete.
They're sending out
applications.
Governors, millions of ballots.
No, they're not.
There's applications. There is no way you can go through a mail-in vote without massive cheating.
I honestly don't understand this topic with
go
you.
Ahead.
The Republican Party has an extremely well-funded vote-by-mail program. Your campaign puts out emails telling people to vote by mail.
Correct.
Your daughter-in-law, Lara Trump, she did robocalls in California saying it's safe and secure, mail-in voting.
Let me tell you.
The Republican
won. We have
won.
No choice.
That was an all-mail-in race.
Let me tell you. You ready?
Yeah.
We have no choice. Because right now we have many court cases that we're waiting. We have one filed in Western Pennsylvania. We have many court cases where we're trying to end it. We went through World War I, you went to the polls, you voted. We went through World War II, you went to the polls, you
voted. Had mail-in voting.
And now, because of the China virus, we're supposed to stay home, send millions of ballots all over the country, millions and millions. You know, you could have a case where this election won't be decided on the evening of November 3rd.
Absolutely.
This election could be decided 2 months later.
It won't be 2 months, but what's wrong with the proper mailing count?
It could be decided many months later.
Have you discussed...
You know why? Because lots of things will happen during that period of time, especially when you have tight margins. Lots of things can happen. There's never been anything like this when you try... Now, of course, right now, we have to live with it, but we're challenging it in many courts.
You're
going to
litigate.
All over the country.
Mr. President, the other day, a reporter asked you about Ghislaine Maxwell. You said, quote, "I just wish her well, frankly. I've met her numerous times over the years, especially since I lived in Palm Beach, but I wish her well, whatever it is." Mr. President, Ghislaine Maxwell has been arrested on allegations of child sex trafficking. Why would you wish such a
well,
person
first of all,
well?
I don't know that, but I do know that.
She has. She's been arrested for that.
Her
you know that.
Friend or boyfriend,
Epstein,
was either killed or committed suicide in jail. She's now in jail.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I wish her well. I'd wish you well. I'd wish a lot of people well. Good luck. Let them prove somebody was guilty. I mean, do you know that
oh, so you're saying you hope she doesn't die in jail. Is that what you mean by wish her well?
Her boyfriend died in jail, and people are still trying to figure out how did it happen. Was it suicide? Was he killed? And I do wish her well. I'm not looking for anything bad for her. I'm not looking bad for anybody. And they took that and
made
it such a big deal. But all it is her boyfriend died. He died in jail. Was he killed? Was it suicide? I do. I wish her well.
Let's... Let's move to Portland. I'm sure you've seen the disturbing footage of people in fatigues beating the Navy veteran.
No.
Well,
here you go.
There.
Fake news.
It's not fake news.
No.
It's on video.
For
pepper spraying him.
For 59 days, These people were anarchists and agitators and some protesters, but these were anarchists.
Okay.
These people were beating the hell out of the city. They were beating up our federal buildings and our federal courthouse. We told the police to stop it. You make sure. And the police wouldn't do it. Not the police.
Your own Justice Department and Homeland Security Inspector Generals.
Excuse me.
Your Inspector Generals are investigating unconstitutional.
You're trying now to blame law enforcement instead of anarchists.
I'm not.
Of Antifa.
I'm not.
It's Antifa. Antifa and anarchists that are causing the problems, not law enforcement. Our law enforcement, if we didn't have people at our courthouse, and they're strong, tough people, and they don't want, they try and be very good, believe me, but if we didn't have people there, you would have your federal courthouse, $600 million building, you would have that thing burned to the ground.
I'm asking you about tactics and about the unmarked vans where they're rounding people up, and I want
to... Let me tell you about unmarked.
Because it relates to this, I promise. This is from Rand Paul. Quote, "We cannot give up liberty for security. Local law enforcement can and should be handling these situations in our cities, but there is no place for federal troops or unidentified federal agents rounding people up at will." What is your response to Senator Paul?
First of all, these are Homeland Security people. They're securing a courthouse.
They're Border Patrol.
They're Homeland Security.
Elite units.
Border. Hopefully they have
camo,
ICE in there. Hopefully they have ICE. Now, do you know why they're unmarked? Because these terrorists, these Antifa people, these people that are anarchists and agitators, when they see the name on a uniform of a person, a policeman or a law enforcement person, they find out where that person lives. And then they go and they scare the hell out of the person's family. And so they do it for that reason. It's just common sense. There's nothing secret about this. And you know it. You see it. What's going on right now. We have Chad Wolf. They have people. He's doing a fantastic job. He's the acting head. He's doing a fantastic job. Chad Wolf has pickets outside, very dangerous-looking people outside of his house. He's going to be just fine. He's tough, and he's got people. But if you have the names on all of these uniforms, you'll have these maniacs in front of their houses scaring their family and their wives and or husbands, whatever it may be. I think it's a very good reason not to have your name. Why should you have identification? My name is Bill Smith. And here's where I live, and I'm a member of...
The really serious concern is...
No, not about that.
The serious concern is the reports of people being rounded up and not being told why they're being detained. That's what's being investigated
by...
Mr. President, the Inspectors Generals. The Inspectors Generals.
You know why they're being detained? Well, yeah.
There's an investigation. Do you support that investigation?
Well, I haven't seen the result yet.
But do you support the initiative of it?
No, I think that actually... I think Antifa should be investigated, not the law enforcement. They're investigated.
They shouldn't be investigating.
Have you been watching television?
I have.
Have you been seeing the violence?
Sure.
Now, if you watch NBC News, like I watch NBC Fake News, I'm watching it, Lester Holt, real beauty, and I'm watching this NBC News sham, and you have a mayor named Wheeler, and he's standing out there, and he's being accosted by the people. You know that. I mean, it's horrible what they're doing to him, Portland, the mayor of Portland. And he thought he'd go out, he'd be a mayor. What they were doing and saying and everything else to him, I happened to watch it on a different station. He had to get out. He had five security guards. He got out with his life. Okay.
Mr. President.
If you watch NBC News, they make him like he's standing there bravely fighting with the people in a positive sense that everything is wonderful. No. He went out there. He's lucky he got away with his life because they would have killed him. He had five guards. But NBC News showed it like he's standing with the people for justice. Look, those people, take a look at what they've done to the courthouse. Take a look at what they've done to the streets. Take a look at the violence.
It's getting worse since they've gone in.
It's getting better. We've arrested a lot of people, and we now have a 10-year rule. You touch our courthouse, you go to jail for 10 years.
Turning to the rest of the country, we haven't seen protests like this since the 60s. I mean, we're seeing...
These are Democrats.
If I could finish my question.
And they're doing it for political reasons.
You said you've done so much for African Americans.
I have.
But there are Americans...
Opportunity.
Let me finish up. There are Americans out in the streets asking for change. Mr. President, have you ever met with a Black Lives Matter activist to hear them out, hear their arguments?
Well, Black Lives Matter started off to me very badly because it was...
Did you ever meet with one?
Pigs in a blanket... burn them like bacon. That was my first, the first time I ever heard of like, that was 3-4 years ago.
Right.
Pigs, meaning policemen, pigs is what they're referring to, in a blanket, fry them like bacon. I thought it was, so I got off to a bad start. I got off to a very bad start.
Would you meet with a Black Lives Matter activist?
I would, but I think right now when they
paint, why haven't you?
When they paint the sign, nobody's asked for a meeting, right? I've never been, nobody's ever asked me for a meeting. Let me tell you, with African Americans, I'm doing very well. They had the best employment numbers they've ever had. They had the best job numbers they've ever had. They were making more money than they ever made. We were all set until we got hit by China with the virus. Jonathan, there was actually, we were becoming a very unified country.
Do you believe?
Because of success.
I understand. Do you believe, though, Mr. President, that many police treat black people differently from white people?
Well, I hope not. I hope not. Certainly
You've seen the statistics.
The knee on the neck was a disgrace, okay?
Yeah.
That was a disgrace.
I'm talking about, what does systemic racism mean to you?
I hope the answer to that question is no. Does anybody really answer that question accurately?
But what about not hope?
Really,
what about analysis? What's your cold-hearted view?
I have seen where there is a difference, and I don't want there to be a difference. I don't like that there would be a difference. But with that being said,
why do you think black men are 2.5 times?
White people,
I know, but why do you think black
in
men
in a larger number
in quantity,
police have killed white people?
But why do you think black men are 2.5 times more likely to be killed by police than white?
That I don't know, but I don't like it.
But you must have thought
why?
About it.
Why? I don't know why, but I don't like it. I do know this.
Does it speak to something
police
systemic?
Police have killed many white people also.
But proportionally, what does it speak to?
It speaks to something, if that's the number. You're telling
it is the
me
number.
A number. Okay, if that's a number, it speaks to something that, to me, is unacceptable.
And what do you do about it then?
Already done a lot
but
of
you haven't. It still
let
exists.
Let me just say,
I understand your achievements. I know what you're going to say. I'm not suggesting you haven't done a lot
economically.
I've done
a thing called criminal justice.
I get it.
Reform.
I'm just saying what changes.
President Obama couldn't
He's
get it.
He's not my friend. I'm asking about that
he
specific.
Tried, but he couldn't get it
I'm
done.
Not,
I got criminal
I get
justice.
It. I get it.
I got opportunities. Else. I took care of the historically black. You know, if you look at what I've done for colleges, for black colleges and universities, I got them funding. Obama never did it. I did more for the black community than anybody, with the possible exception of Abraham Lincoln, whether you like it or not. People say, oh, that's
you really you believe you did more than Lyndon Johnson, who passed the Civil Rights Act?
I think I did, yeah.
How?
Because I
How
got criminal justice
did
reform done. I got prison reform.
Lyndon Johnson.
I've done things.
He passed the Civil Rights Act.
How has it worked out? If you take a look at what Lyndon Johnson did.
You think the Civil Rights Act was a mistake?
How has it worked out? Because frankly, it took a long time. But for African Americans, under my administration, Jonathan, under my administration, African Americans were doing better than they had ever done in the history of this country. So I did a lot. Job numbers, all of the money. They had money. They were getting great. Their percentage was up. Their housing ownership was up. They did better than they've ever done.
I just don't know
how
you
did. And now, you know what we're doing? I'm building it up again. We're going to have it. Next year will be a great year, unless it's screwed up by somebody that doesn't know what he's doing, which could happen, but I don't think it will.
John Lewis is lying in state in the U.S. Capitol. How do you think history will remember John Lewis?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. I don't know John Lewis. He chose not to come to my inauguration. I never met John Lewis, actually. I don't believe.
Do you find him impressive?
I can't say one way or the other. I find a lot of people impressive. I find many people not impressive. But no, but I didn't go.
Do you find his story impressive?
He didn't come to my inauguration. He didn't come to my State of the Union speeches. And that's okay. That's his right. And again, nobody has done more for black Americans than I have.
I understand.
He should have come.
But
I think he made a big mistake.
But taking your relationship with him out of it,
do you find his story impressive, what he's done for this country?
He was a person that devoted a lot of energy and a lot of heart to civil rights, but there were many others also.
There's a petition to rename the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama, as the John Lewis Bridge. Would you support that idea?
I would have no objection to it if they'd like to do it.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
Would have no objection to it whatsoever. Okay.
Mr. President, you've been so generous with your
time, and we really appreciate it.
Well, thank you
thank
very
you.
Much. Great honor.
Thank you
thank
so
you.
Much.
Thank you.
So that is the complete interview in segments, and I hope that it wasn't a bother to wait a few seconds in between them. You know, I recorded those, and I got them ready for the show, which is why I did it at 2 o'clock today. But really quickly, I want to go over and unpack a few things from what he said. So when he says he sent tests to other nations, now, testing in this country has been a major problem. And to know that our president, while we were here suffering, waiting for tests, was busy sending them to other countries, instead of giving them to people who needed them here at home, is absolutely disturbing. Yes, there are problems with testing, people waiting as many as 11 days to find out whether or not they are positive with COVID, which is problematic because, you know, if you think you have COVID, you should definitely quarantine. And if a person is an essential employee but also living below the poverty level, it's very hard to go to your employer and say, well, I took a test and I'm supposed to get it back in 5 days as to whether or not I'm positive. How does an employee living paycheck to paycheck wait for 11 days, possibly spreading COVID if they continue to work, you know, to have to pay their bills? This is ridiculous. America has no plan, no plan. And when Trump says we've done more testing and therefore we have more cases, that is a blatant lie. If I tested all of America, every American for tuberculosis, every American, 330 million people, if I tested them all today for tuberculosis, only the people who currently are suffering from tuberculosis would be positive. I would not have more cases because of more tests. I would definitely find every positive that was out there unless, you know, somebody, you had to go through a secondary double checking that it was truly positive. But you're not going to have more cases. The tests don't infect people. You can get infected while going for the test. You can get infected after you've had the test while there's plenty of time that you're waiting because you don't know, because you can't ask for that time off of work or possibly even afford it. So we have these anomalies in there, but definitely just doing the testing itself is not in any way causing more cases. You can only find a positive if it exists. Like a pregnancy test. If it's positive, it's true. If it's negative, you still have to question because if the symptoms and signs are all there and yet it comes back negative, sometimes it's wrong. Just like a pregnancy test. You don't get more cases just because you did more tests. When he's talking about doing more for Black people than civil rights legends and icons, he's so over the top crazy. Okay, Dr. Martin Luther King, Johnson, like he was talking, who signed off on civil rights. Martin Luther King gave his life to see the day when things would be more equal in this country. John Lewis not only was there for the civil rights and played a role in it, gave a speech on that monumental day, but then he continued to work in the government and try to enact the change. Donald Trump likes to talk a big game, but he can't play the game well. And you can see that from this interview. And it's so important that people outside of this country and even inside of this country see that Donald Trump is majorly a liar. Talking about things like, you could listen to it in Ghislaine Maxwell. You can see how much more he cares about her than someone like John Lewis or even the American people. Okay? He feels that she's a friend and he doesn't want her, quote unquote, done wrong and that the courts have to, quote unquote, prove it. Oh, well, of course, that's what an arrest means, that she is going to go through a trial. They're going to hear evidence, and if they have enough evidence, convict. The problem then becomes, will Donald Trump try to pardon her? Because the problem is, this man looks out for all of the people who are criminals like him and surrounds him. It's a real problem, and I can see it coming, just like when he talks about that they're going to court in numerous states to stop, quote-unquote mail-in voting, which is absentee voting. And he says it's wrought with fraud. It is not. And no dog ever got an application. I live in Ohio. I have voted once by mail. I had to go online, print out my application for it, fill out all of my information. They then verified that by what they have in their bank, that they sent my ballot to me. I had to get the ballot. I had two secure envelopes. One was the outside, one was the inside, so that basically the person who gets it opens the first one. The person at the machine gets the second one. They scan it through. I keep a copy, and guess what? That's how it goes. You have to prove to them, I had to give my license. You know, they get your social, things like that. They get your valid information. You can't just ask for a ballot for your dog. It just does not work that way. That is another of his lies. Donald Trump is, I fully believe, going to try to litigate the end of this. I think that he's going to try to say that after November 3rd, if your ballot isn't there, it isn't counted, and that the situation then becomes that he's going to not want to count a number of them, and it's going to be against Democrats. It's definitely going to be any places where Democrats won in a landslide. Now, we can do a recount. It becomes a whole fiasco, and that's for another day. But this interview was so important because to see into the mind of this man, he is very self-centered. He does not care about the American people. He doesn't care about anyone. He kept using racist epithets when it came to China. He lied about so many of the things. He has clearly no understanding of what's going on. He can't be updated on information. He just gets an initial information and continues to say over and over again the same thing. This is a problem, but it exposes to people out there who think that this man is really, truly a good leader and doing his best job, that he is not. He thinks he is. But Obama left a map, a plan. No, there were not tests for this disease before it existed because you can't prepare a test for something that doesn't exist. If I say tomorrow another pandemic is going to happen and it's going to be some kind of virus, well, every virus is different and how it communicates with your cells is different. So when a test is created, you have to understand how it's getting into the cells, what it's doing to the cells. Then you create the test that detects either an antigen, a protein, many different things that you can test for. But it has to be specific. You have to put it through a trial, which means you have to have the virus and you have to be able to detect that this is a true positive or this is a true negative. There is a lot this that he completely doesn't comprehend. It's another reason why when he's saying that the more you test, the more you'll have positives is completely wrong. These tests are checked. Any tests that are not quality efficient over time are discarded for more efficient testing because, one, it's a waste of time. Two, it's a waste of money. Three, you could potentially do more damage using a less accurate test because that means that people are slipping through the cracks. He does not know what he's talking about. Donald Trump should not be in the head of a business, especially not a country or anything else. I don't know why America decided that mediocrity was okay, racism was okay. You know, some white guy who just shows up and knows how to manipulate and crime is not the level that we should ask for in this country. It was a great interview. I think HBO, Axios, and Jonathan Snow did a wonderful job, and I give all credit to them because that is from their show. But they highlighted the problem in this country. Trump talks over the interviewer. He doesn't let him finish. He's assuredly certain of himself in an arrogant, ignorant way. It puts on the platform all of the things that have been said about Trump and the problem with living through a pandemic with somebody still out of control. And I hope that you got that. And, you know, I'm going to start preparing for tomorrow's show here shortly, but I want you to think about this. I just sat there and throughout this whole interview watching it, I kept putting my head up, you know, on my hand and face palming because I'm just like, this is just the most terrible information. This is so wrong. And there are people out there who will believe what he says and will never understand how misinformed he is because he's willfully ignorant. And they will follow along. Like they were saying about the masks and stuff, Trump just embraced that, just currently. But even still, some of his followers aren't embracing it. They think he's just giving in. And it's a problem. Because it's not just here. We are an example for all over the world. And people around the world now are trying to question masks and why they should be wearing them. You know, unfortunately, negative influence is still an influence, and it has worldwide repercussions. What we see every day is more chaos because we don't have leadership in this country. And it matters because a good leader can guide other people to make good decisions. They can help other countries in their time of need. They can set the stage for showing other people examples of how to be a great leader, how to set your people up to be happy. When Donald Trump talks about people, black people having more money, having more houses than they ever had before, well, that's a consequence of an Obama era where he taxed the rich. He made it so that there were more jobs. He made great deals with other countries. And he had the economy really stable. All Trump had to do was float along. He really only had to float along. And when Trump says, I'm bringing the economy back, no. There are stores, businesses, there is all sorts of things that have closed and they are not coming back. There are places that are consolidating, and Starbucks is closing 200 stores. Dunkin' Donuts is closing 250 this year. So you're talking about 450 stores nationwide right there. You have other places, Bath and Body Works, that is closing stores. So you're looking at numerous, numerous places closing, and those employees will not get that job back. They're going to have to look for new work. And so when you already have 30 million unemployed, and you're talking about laying off hundreds and thousands of more, you begin to have more people than you have jobs. And trust me, without the extra unemployment, people have spending money. And that's when it gets real tough, because when people don't have extra money to spend, they can't buy, which means that other places have to lay off, and it causes a cascade. And that's what we're about to face. So when Donald Trump says that he did that, no. But he did cause this, because if he would have listened when he was briefed, if he would have done the right thing to start with, which was close everything down for about 6 to 8 weeks, everything, and made Americans stay at home, we could have literally diminished this virus to nothing. And right now we could be back on track, full in swing. Instead, he did it all the wrong way, and the repercussions is that 1,000 Americans are indeed dying every day. And when he says that the levels of positives in Florida are going down, no. A hurricane just hit the eastern coast. Florida shut down two major testing sites. So those people that are positive in that area are not getting tested. So don't believe that either. We are running in a chaos machine and trying to survive Trump. Anyhow, that's going to do for today. You have a great afternoon. I will see you back here tomorrow. Till then, take care of yourself and each other. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show.
They abandon their belief in the supernatural. Now you are asking me to sabotage that achievement, to send them back into the dark ages of superstition and ignorance and fear? No!
You are listening to the Pink Atheist Podcast.